The following message, A Wife's Submission, was based on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. This message was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, on Sunday, October 22, 2017, by Pastor Ryan Lunsford of Ballston Lake Baptist Church, Ballston Lake, New York.
If you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick up the counterpart of what we did last Lord's Day when we considered a husband's love towards his wife. We're going to look at the wife's primary responsibility, which is submission to her husband. I'll begin reading in Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Let's go to the Lord one more time. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for another day in which we might come before you as your blood-bought children, in which we might worship you for who you are and what you have accomplished through the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come into your presence and that we can expect that you would meet with your people. We thank you that access has been granted through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have been bid to come into the Holy of Holies and stand in your presence. We thank you, Father, for pardoning mercies. We thank you today for enabling grace. We thank you, as our brother has already prayed, for a sympathizing high priest, a Father who is eager to grant to us the grace that we need in our hour of need. We ask today that we might know from his hand that grace. We ask that we might know the presence of your Spirit. We ask, Father, that we might know an hour of instruction. And we ask that we would ultimately receive your word with faith, and that we would desire by grace to implement all that you require of us to the honor and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I mentioned last week that we ought to be living Christianly in the home. And if we're not living Christianly in the home, we ought not to think that we're probably implementing the Christian life anywhere else, that we're implementing the words of Christ to us in other places of our life. If we're missing this great sphere in which we regularly and daily live, then we ought not to think that we're that spiritual after all. I say that just by way of emphasizing the importance of fulfilling our God-given roles in the home. We need the grace of God there. And we might even argue we need it primarily there, that we might live before God in a pleasing manner. We need to be what we are called to be in the home. It's not okay to seek to be Christian everywhere else and yet neglect this one great sphere of our daily lives. And so with that in mind, we come to this second part of the marriage relationship. Not only is the husband to love his bride as Christ loved the church and to love her as himself, the wife is to willingly and gladly submit to her husband as her head, even as the church submits to Christ as her head. And so we want to consider this aspect of the wife's responsibility towards her husband. And I'll begin with just a bit of introductory material. I'm hot. Is it okay to take this off here? I love the words of Martin Luther. He says, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." Isn't that a wonderful thing? The wife, let her make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave. I hope that that will be the practice, will be the sentiment, will be the experience of husbands and wives here in this congregation. Well, I begin by asking this morning, what were your expectations when you got married? What were your expectations when you tied the knot? Did you expect to be with someone who waits on you hand and foot, who never disappoints you, who never makes any human failures or human mistakes, and certainly who never sins against you? Is that what you expected when you said, "I do"? And if many of us are honest, we might not have expected something just like that, but we might have expected something close to that. After all, he'll be my Prince Charming. She'll be my perfect little housewife. We kind of tend to come to the altar with that sort of mentality. I do, and life happily ever after. Well, that is rarely the case when two sinners say I do, when two people who are prone naturally towards fulfilling the desires of their own heart, who naturally look out for their own interest rather than the interest of another, come together and say, "I do." What did you expect when you tied the knot? Did you expect to marry a woman that never questioned your self-pronounced and self-confident wisdom and skill? And did you expect to marry a man who always anticipated your every need and never failed to meet your every expectation, and constantly lived in perfect understanding and loving communication with you? Is that what you came to the altar expecting? Well, again, when two sinners say, "I do," you ought to expect to be sinned against. You ought to expect that marriage, at least according to God's blueprint, is going to take a great deal of energy and constant vigilance and self-denial. I mentioned last week that when we get married, it's much like discipleship. It is saying no to self and living for the interest, for the good, for the honor of another. And that's what we're doing. And so when we come to this topic of a wife's responsibility, I want you to keep that in mind. Of course, I want men to keep that in mind as well. But when we marry another sinner and someone who will disappoint and someone who is not perfect, someone who is tainted with sin just like me. A Christ-honoring marriage takes a great deal of effort. It takes a great deal of self-denial. It requires patience. It requires forbearance, forgiveness, kindness, self-control. It requires a commitment to putting off sinful thoughts, sinful motives, a sinful behavior, and putting on of righteous thoughts, righteous motives, and righteous behavior. That's what it requires of it. It requires a relentless, dogged determination to fulfilling God's design for our individual responsibilities, regardless of our spouse's commitment to his or her responsibilities. And isn't that often our thought? Well, if he'll do his part, then I'll do my part. If he'll become the loving head that God requires him to be, then I'll be the submissive wife that God requires me to be. If he would make it easier on me, then I would make it easier on him. If I had a perfect head, then I would be perfectly submitted to him. Well, that notion is blown to pieces by the fact that you do have a perfect head in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not perfectly submitted to him in all of life. And so we desire as Christians to obey our God-given responsibilities, not in light of and because of our husband or our wife fulfilling their responsibilities, but because that is what God has given for us to do. And so I say that by way of saying, Christian wife, your responsibility to submit to your husband and to live before him as God requires you to live before him is not dependent upon the sort of or the kind of husband you have. It is your duty because God has declared it to be your duty. And it is your joy because God has declared it to be your joy. It is to be your desire to honor God. And if that's not the base motivation of your heart in submitting to your husband, then you're going to find yourself erring and you're going to find yourself disappointed at every turn. We love our wives as Christ loved the church. We submit to our husbands as the church submits to Christ because it pleases God, because it honors Christ, because it is what is required of us. That must be the basic motivating principle of our hearts. Anything else is a selfish motivation. We desire to do it because God requires it. And so I hope that that sets in as we begin the wife's primary responsibility towards her husband. I mentioned to a few of the ladies last Lord's Day that I'm always eager to preach the first part of this. I'm always eager to lay it on the men. And I'm not always as eager to come before the ladies and tell them their God-given responsibilities. One reason is because normally my wife is present. And it's a bit more difficult sometimes to sit there and preach to her and say, this is your duty towards me. This is what you are to do. But she's not here today, and so it'll be a bit easier. I say that tongue in cheek. My wife is a wonderful, wonderful submissive woman, and she makes it very easy to preach to her. But we begin with the wife's responsibility. And this is what I call it. I've alluded to it. I've said it is submission. But I want to say this. It is heart-based submission. It is heart-based submission. And we can see that if we turn to, obviously, we've read Ephesians 5. We could turn to Colossians 3:18. We could turn to Titus 2:4-5. We could look at 1 Timothy 2:9-12. We could go to 1 Peter 3:1-6. And we would see that the primary responsibility of the wife towards her husband is the responsibility of submission. The sense of submission in biblical terms is to be subject to bring oneself under. It conveys the idea even of obedience. It is to willingly and gladly live for another. In fact, that is the picture that is painted for us in Ephesians 5 that we've already read. It is the church's glad-hearted, willing submission to her head that is the example of the wife's responsibility to her husband. A glad-hearted, willing submission to her head. Well, as you know, submission, just the word itself, is not a super popular idea in today's culture. It's not a super popular idea in today's church. In fact, when I say submission, whether it's to a woman or to a man, it's not a super popular idea at all, because our very sinful nature kicks against the idea of bringing ourselves into subjection to another's authority. After all, sin aims at self-autonomy. Sin desires to promote a self-cause. And so submission, whether we're speaking to wives or anyone for that matter, seems to be kicked against. That's not the language of I get it my way when I want it my way. That's the language of I have to give up my way. And no one in our sinful, wrong thinking wants to give up our own way. We want our way. And so I recognize that when we come to this subject, that it is not really a popular idea, but it is a biblical idea. We saw that in Ephesians 5 as we read through that passage. I listed some other passages that we could go look at, but for the sake of time, won't this morning. Because it's not a popular idea, I do want to at least say what submission is not. Because just like leadership being wrongly applied by men's wisdom rather than biblical wisdom, so the idea of submission has at times been wrongly applied according to what man thinks submission looks like rather than what God's Word says submission is. And so with that being stated, let me just say a few things. Submission does not mean slavery. Submission does not mean silence. That is to say, it's not synonymous with slavery or silence. Submission does not mean inactivity or passivity. That is, submission is not a doormat kind of passivity in which one is walked all over and plays no role. In fact, submission is a very active role. Submission does not mean second class. A submission does not mean inferior. In fact, if we went and looked, we could see that the Lord Jesus Christ in his boyhood was a man, was a child who was submitted to his parents. That did not mean that he was inferior to them intrinsically, but rather that he had a role that he was to play in light of the fact that they were his parents. We would see that as well within the Godhead. Submission of the second person to the Father does not imply inferiority. No, it implies a difference in responsibility, a difference in function or role. And so I want you to understand, ladies, that submission does not mean inferiority. And men, husbands, ought to understand that as well. That is important for us to keep in mind. We considered last week that oftentimes we think, well, because we're the head, that must mean that we're the wisest part of the body. And that is not always the case. Certainly, if you have not figured that out, you might ask the Lord to show that to you. And so submission does not imply inferiority. So those are a few things I want to state, because at least in some men's mind and in some teaching of the past, that is the case. It means complete quietness. It means servitude. It means inferiority. And in some cultures, in some places, and perhaps even in our own, which I would say is the case, it still means that. And so we ought to understand what submission is from a biblical point of view, from a biblical perspective, not from what we think it is based on worldly wisdom. Well, that with that being stated, let us continue on. The Bible makes clear that the man, the husband that is the head of a woman. 1 Corinthians 11 speaks to that reality. 11:3, 11:8 through 9 says, "For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake." And so that coupled with the other texts that have been mentioned as well as Ephesians 5, we are to understand the primary role of the wife towards her husband is one of willing, glad-hearted, cheerful submission to him. The church demonstrates its submission to the Savior outwardly by obeying His commands, by living for His honor and His good. And so the wife is to demonstrate her reverence towards her husband in the same way. And so with that in mind, I want to say this. Submission is, first of all, specific. A submission of a wife is to her own husband. It is not to all men alike. It is not to all husbands. It is to her own husbands. Wives, be subject to your, there in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, own husbands. And so you say, well, is it my responsibility as a wife to submit to all men? Well, no. Be subject to your own husbands. Of course, there is a sense in which all of us as Christians are subject to one another. We could look back in Ephesians 5 and see that that is not what is being spoken of here. A wife's role before towards her husband is towards her husband. So first of all, specific. Second of all, it is spiritual. A wife's submission is spiritual. It is as to the Lord. It is a matter of Christian obedience. It is not a matter of well, you know, I think that today it's a good idea. And tomorrow that idea may change. It is to be a spiritual service. It is unto the Lord. It is for His honor. It is for His glory. It is an act of obedience first and foremost to Christ. It is an act of obedience to the one whom you claim as a Christian to love supremely and to desire to live for His glory. And so we ought to understand that submission is a spiritual act. It is unto the Lord. It is honoring to the Savior. Thirdly, it is universal. Ephesians 5:24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in some things. in a few things. No, the Word of God says in everything. In all things, that is. It is universal. A wife's role is to submit gladly in all things to her husband, except when her husband might require of her to sin. She submits then to the Lord, not to her husband. It is never okay to submit in such a way that you would sin against God. In all things, a wife is to bring herself into subjection to her head. Fourthly, it is continuous. When submission is spoken of, it is spoken of in the present tense. That is, it is ongoing. It is not something that is done once here and then, well, perhaps later on I'll do it again. It is an ongoing act of praise and worship to the Lord. I will bring myself in to submission for Christ's sake. And then lastly, and again this is intimated at in what's already been said, it is mandatory, it is imperative, it is God's word, it is God's way for wives. And with that in mind, I want to say this. It's wonderful to know that it is God's way for a wife. Because if it is God's way, it is the best way. And if it is God's way, it is a good way. And if it is God's way, it's not a second-rate way. It is what is to be. It is what is to be for your husband's good. It is for your good. It is for Christ's honor. And that's important to remember. God's way, His principles, His word is always good and right. It is righteous altogether. It is perfect. And submission then can be understood as you're obeying the Lord as something that is reviving to the soul, as something that is pleasant, as something that brings joy and happiness to life, not something that is a drudgery. In fact, submission being something that we kick against is not because it's not good, it is because we are not good. And so we need to understand that if God requires it, it is good and it is righteous. With that in mind, I want to begin, as we kind of did last week for husbands, to spell out what that might look like in day-to-day life. And so where I really want us to begin is in Proverbs 31. It is a familiar passage to ladies, but I think that it is important to turn here because we see the portrait of a wife. And we see the portrait of a wife who we might say is under the authority of her husband as her head and is submitted to him, but who is wonderfully free and wonderfully prosperous, and it would seem wonderfully happy in her work. And so I'm going to take the time this morning to read it because I want you to get the sense of this woman's, this wife's life. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Note the focus of this wife. She wants to do her husband good. She wants to promote his physical and his spiritual and his emotional and his social well-being. She is aiming at his good all the days of her life. I want you to notice that she is a woman submitted to her husband, but that does not mean that she is not active and industrious and prosperous. Note here, she does him good all and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Note that she is industrious, and we'll see that again later. She also is diligent. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. It's obvious that her husband trusts her with the finances. He's given her free reins, as it were, to do as she pleases. And she goes out and she buys a field and she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Note that she is generous, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She is compassionate towards those under her care. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Women, this ought to be particularly of interest to you. She's dressed nicely. There's your biblical warrant for dressing nicely. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belt to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Again, note that she is wise and that she is kind. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Again, we don't have time to look into all of that, but I wanted to read it because what I want you to understand is that this is a wife. And yet I want you to take note of really, as you read through this passage, the joy that exudes from it as this woman lives her life for the good of her husband and her household. She's a happy woman. She is diligently applying herself to the work that God has given her to do. And she is doing it to the extent that her husband is able to be in the workplace. He's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He is free to do his God-given responsibility of laboring in the world because his heart trusts in the ways and the wisdom and the kindness of his own bride. He knows that as he lays the responsibilities of the home into her hands, that she will diligently tend to it. What a wonderful, wonderful picture of a submissive heart. And again, I just bring that up because I want you to get the sense of this woman's life before her husband and before the Lord. And with that in mind, I might just ask a few questions of you ladies. Are you like the Proverbs 31 woman? You would not do poorly to come to this passage on a regular basis and read it. And to ask yourself, does this woman's life, does it match up with my life? And does my life look like this woman's life? Am I diligent in the duties that God has given to me? Am I kind-hearted? In fact, is that something that is readily evident about my life to my husband or to my children or to those around me, that I am someone who is marked by kindness in my dealings with them? Do I apply wisdom and an industrious spirit to my daily living? Am I aiming at my husband's good? Do I desire to promote his interest? Is my life, and we could use the language tangled up, weave together would be more proper, into his? Am I living to promote him? And of course, we might even go on. Am I generous and wise with that which he gives me? Are you? You can ask that question of yourself. You can turn to Proverbs 31 and say, does what mark this lady, does it mark me? You could ask yourself, is my husband happy to come home and see me? Do I make the home a pleasant and a happy place for him to come home to? Am I a pleasant and happy person for him to come home to? Or you might say, well, he doesn't come home. He's always home. He's retired. Am I pleasant and happy with him in the home? My father-in-law often tells me that a retired life brought on a whole new way of thinking in the marriage as they learn to interact with each other, not on a daily basis, but a minute by minute basis. And so you can ask yourself, does my life bring joy to my husband? And I didn't ask you, does his life bring joy to me? But does my life promote his good? Does my ways and my words seek his best interest? Again, when we think of our responsibilities towards one another as spouses, our tendency is to think of our spouse's responsibility towards me. But that's not the way we should be thinking. We should be thinking of our responsibility towards them. Because, wonderfully so, by the grace of God and the empowering work of the Spirit, we can fulfill our responsibilities towards our spouse, regardless of how they act towards us. So, do you exemplify Proverbs 31 towards your husband? This woman is a helper in every way. She knows her position and she gives herself to it. She respectively and lovingly lives for the good of her husband. Well, might just ask a few practical questions before I move on to something else. Is your life, wife, oriented towards your husband? Just by way of helping you think through it, do you live for him? That means the very bulk of your day spent doing things to help him, encourage him, and promote him. In the house, perhaps, do you aim to fulfill household chores for him? Do you know if he likes the house clean or if he doesn't really care that much what you do with the house? Do you know what his preferences are? If you don't, just like last week, I said, husbands, why don't you ask your wives what you can do for them? If as a wife you don't know what your husband likes or dislikes, you might just ask him. I might just give a word of maybe Ryan's personal wisdom. It might be good to ask him, not in the middle of a disagreement, or, you know, at the end of a long day, which you can tell that work did not exactly go the way he had planned it would go. It might be good to do it in a timely manner. But ask, how would you like this? How would you like
me to do this. You know, one of the things that I appreciate so much about my wife, and some of you women are going to be thankful you don't live with a man like me. I'm kind of a picky eater, like a really picky eater. Now, I'll eat just about anything, but it depends on how I feel that day. But my wife, she can fix anything, and I'd be happy to eat it. I wouldn't say a word, but she normally asks, "What would you like for dinner?" I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, you need to ask your husband every night, what would you like for dinner? That's not what I'm saying. But it's a wonderful thing because she kind of knows I'm a picky eater. So, well, what would you like? I want to make something you'll enjoy. I want to make something you will like. Do you know the likes and dislikes of your husband? Has he asked you to do certain things in the home and you refuse to do them? That's an unsubmissive spirit. That's bucking against authority. As he said, you know what? I would really like to eat at 6 p.m. every day, if at all possible. And you say, okay, that's my aim. That's my goal. I desire to have dinner at 6 p.m. Now, some husbands say, I don't care when we eat, and that's okay. Are there certain things? This is an example, okay? I have to emphasize that. You'd be surprised how many times someone will come up and say, you said we have to eat at 6 p.m.? No, that's not what I'm saying. Are there certain things that you know he likes or requires or has asked you to work on or to ask you to do? And are you implementing those things? And again, because I'm my husband, I just might say, husbands, be patient, be gracious, be understanding with your bride. If you've asked for 6 p.m. and 6:01 rolls around and dinner's not ready, understand she may have had a very difficult day. And if she had kids, you can be guaranteed that she had a very difficult day. And she needs you to be understanding and compassionate towards her and to get into the kitchen and help her out in order to get dinner ready, whatever it may be. I realize that we're on a woman's role, but I want to make sure that we as husbands are understanding towards our brides. Perhaps with discipline issues, if you still have children in the home, as your husband said, this is how I would like to implement discipline in this area. This is what I would like to see. When our children do this, this is a no-no. This is a no-tolerance sort of issue. And I want to see us disciplining here. I'm not in the home all day. You're with the children. And so will you please implement this? Are you aiming to implement it? Or do you just implement it when he's around? And then when he's gone, we'll do whatever Mama wants to do. Are you seeking to honor him in that regard? We might bring up other areas, social relationships. Are you prepared and willing to be a host in the home when he wants to have people over? Are you submissive when he wants to spend time with some friends outside of the home? And again, I'm speaking to wives and not to husbands, but husbands, that doesn't give you the, you know, free rein to do whatever you want. We talked about a husband's love towards his wife. It is a present love. It is an intimate love. It is being with her. I would hope that you desire to be with your bride far more than with other people. But perhaps a husband has a particular ministry or he desires to meet with someone in order to engage in some activity. Are you willing to allow him to do that? Are you cheerful in allowing him to do that? You know, some instead of, well, sure, go ahead. It's okay if you want to do that. I'm okay with it, really. Sort of mentality, or is it, of course, go do that, sweetie. A cheerful and heart-based submission. Do you account it a joy for your husband, perhaps, to get to do some of the things that he delights to do? Sometimes I'm looking at my own little hobbies and I bring the computer to my wife. What do you think about this? And my poor wife, she's like, that knife looks just like the knife you owned, and just like all the other knives. But no, she'll give me her opinion, right? Even though she really doesn't have an interest in it. Oh, I like this about it. and sharing those sort of things. Do you want to be interested in the sort of things and the hobbies that he is interested in? Again, it's giving up of self in order to serve and love and do good to another. I hope that there are principles in this sort of mentality, this sort of submission, this sort of life for all of us. In your husband's work, do you allow him to work? Do you try to set a schedule for him, control his schedule? Are you always making it difficult on him? He knows that you're going to be upset because he's 15 minutes late from work because he couldn't get away. Or are you understanding of your husband in regards to his out-of-the-home priorities that God has given him? Are you supportive of him when his hours are long, when his days are difficult, when his work requires more of him than it may normally, or more of him than you would like it to require of him? Are you submitted to him? Do you make life easy on him or difficult for him? You ought to ask yourself that question. And then again, I want to bring up this idea, we mentioned it early on, of submission. And submission that would bring about also, as the text indicates in Ephesians 5, a respect, a heart respect, an honoring of your husband. In fact, Ephesians 5, if you look down at the last portion of Ephesians 5 in that text, if I can get to it quickly. And it says in verse 33, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she," and the word in the NASB at least is "respects her husband." The word that's used there is phobetamon. And phobia makes make sure, see to it that you fear, that you respect your husband. What is meant by there? It is a glad-hearted, it's a willing-hearted honoring of your husband. He is my husband. He is the head that the Lord has given to me. And because of his position, because of his place, I will gladly and willingly respect him and honor him and live my life for his good. And so I want you ladies to understand that it's not just a gritting your teeth, "Well, I'll do it." It's a prayerful consideration of, "God, give me the heart for it. Give me the respect for my husband that you have asked me to show him. Give to me a heart for him, a heart turns towards him." You know, it's interesting in Titus 2, when Paul speaks to Titus, to have the older women teach the younger women how to love their children and their husbands. And the idea of how to interact with their children and husbands affectionately, with a tender heart. And women tend to be willing to be self-sacrificial. "I'll do it for them. I'll give up for them. I'll cook and I'll clean and I'll do the other things that are necessary in the home. And I will support and I will take care of." But the tendency can be, at least, to grow embittered in doing it. And to lose a heart for him. To lose a heart for loving him and being tender and affectionate towards him. "Well, this is my duty. I'll just grit my teeth and do it, and then I'll go home and be with the Lord." But are you cultivating a heart towards your husband? Are you cultivating that respect that he is due because God says he is due it because he's the head of the wife? So you can ask yourself that question. Well, with the few minutes we have remaining, I just want to pull from Wayne Mack, his little book on strengthening your marriage. If you If you haven't read this and you would like some help in regards to strengthening your marriage, I highly recommend Wayne Mack. He has some excellent things to say in here. It's very simple. But in regards to practical ways that you may be a helper to your husband, and I'm just going to kind of list them off. These are his thoughts, maybe expanded a bit by me. Making the home a safe place, a place of encouragement. Are you an encourager of your husband? A place of comfort. Are you a comfort to your husband in your words, in your actions, in your desire to draw near to him, whether it just be emotionally or physically? Are you understanding of him? Is the home a place of refuge for him? You know, are you a person that creates an atmosphere, a wife that creates an atmosphere in which your husband enjoys being in? Or do you make cutting remarks and jokes about your husband all the time? Are you condescending towards him? Are you critical of his faults, his mistakes, his failures? Are you correcting him often? Are you criticizing what you don't like? Or are you marked by an encouraging, kind spirit towards your husband? Are you trustworthy? Are you dependable? Again, Proverbs 31 shows that the wife is a trustworthy and dependable person. Something I love about Mark, she pays all the bills. Oh, I don't pay the bills. And you ask me, what does this cost? What does this cost? I don't know. My wife takes care of it. And I trust her with that. I trust her because she's a frugal, godly, wise woman. And then that may not be the case in your home. The husband may pay the bills. But it's a wonderful thing to have a wife whom I can trust. And so are you such a wife to your husbands? Do you maintain a good attitude? Again, Proverbs 31, we could see that in other portions of Scripture as well. Do you discuss things with your husband lovingly, openly, and honestly? Are you being satisfied? Are you satisfied with your position as a wife? God made you a wife, and so that is what He has given you to do. Are you content with that position? Are you content with your possessions? And are you content with your husband's care for you and what he's provided for you? You might ask yourself that. Are you satisfied with the husband that God has given you? You know, God has given you that husband for your good. And sometimes that's hard to remember, even when we see our spouse's sin. But are you satisfied? He's just the man I need. God knew this is the man I needed to sanctify and to work on me. This is the man I needed to love me. This is exactly the one I needed. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given him to me. And so faith lays hold of that perspective. Are you long-suffering? Are you forgiving? Are you forbearing? Do you show interest in his concerns and in his problems? Or is it always about your concerns and your struggles? Again, we've mentioned the idea, are you frugal, diligent, ambitious? Are you a creative team member in the home, that is? Do you offer suggestions, advice, and corrections when needed in a loving fashion? And I'll just remind husbands here, your wives are your helpers. They are your helper. You are to listen to them. You are to gain understanding from them. And so when suggestions and advice and perhaps corrections come, because she's not only your wife, she's your sister in Christ, and she has God-given responsibilities to point out sin, are you listening? But wives, are you doing it in a gracious, a loving, a caring way? Are you concerned about him? Are you concerned about what he will be for you? Do you desire to see that he would be more like Christ, that Christ might be honored? Or you just desire to see him be more like Christ so your life would become easier? You know the difference. And if you don't, ask the Lord to show you your own heart. Again, Wayne Mack mentions keeping a way to be a submissive and helpful wife is keeping yourself beautiful, particularly or especially in the inner person? That is, do you maintain a relationship with God? You want to be a submissive wife, you're not going to do it apart from being submitted to the Word of God, giving yourself to communion with God, seeking God in prayer. And so I ask the husbands, do you pray for your wives? Wives, do you pray for your husbands? Are you diligent in prayer for them? If you're not, you might find out that your heart really isn't that concerned for their good. Again, cooperation in child rearing. Does your husband know that you are loyal to him? Does he know that you are devoted to him? That is, in regards to finding from him all that you are to find from him. Do you look for it in him and not in someone else? Are you loyal? Are you grateful to him? And I know we're a little over time. I'm going to finish up quickly. Are you grateful? Husbands like to hear thank you. They do. I know we kind of give this, at least this, we put off this idea that we're okay by ourselves. We're not. We love a supportive and helpful, encouraging and grateful wife. It's such an encouragement to us. Do you show confidence in his decisions? You say he doesn't always make the best decisions. When he makes good decisions, show confidence in it. Don't always be questioning him. Are you seeking to honor him in these various ways? I hope that helps you think through some things. I might mention just one other in closing and then a general exhortation. When God gave you a husband, he gave you a husband, not a child. And so, wives, treat your husbands like your husbands and not like your children, not like your little boy. I can say, it's wonderful when your wife isn't here because you say all these things. I can say it when she's here too. My wife does not treat me like her little boy, something that I'm so, so grateful for. She treats me like her husband. And what I mean by that are things such as she's not always instructing. She's not always teaching. She's not always disciplining, as it were. She's not always coming up to me, got a little. She's helpful in that way, when I'm like this and I'm ready to walk out of the house because that's how I am. Hey, sweetie, you might want to move that over a little bit. That's not what I'm talking about. But she doesn't baby me. She lets me be a man, and she allows me to be her husband and doesn't treat me like her son. I think that's important. I can give one more example of that. When your husband says, you know what I'd like for breakfast this morning? Steak, eggs, and bacon. You say, don't you know that's not healthy for you? No, I give him steaks, eggs, and bacon. He's going to leave. He may not live to 99. He may live to only 98 and a half, but he's going to be happy and I'm going to make him happy. That sort of thing. He can have his bacon. And so it's not, no, we're having spinach for breakfast. Now you can tell your boy that, right? No, sweetie, we're not having candy. Husband wants candy. He can have candy. That sort of mentality. And again, I know I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but just to help you think through it, treat your husband like your husband, not like your son. These are just hopefully helpful suggestions to cause you to begin thinking. When we talk about a husband and wife's roles, there's so much material that 2 weeks does not do it justice at all. But I wanted to get you guys thinking about these things again. If we're not living Christianly in the home, then I don't know that we're living Christianly elsewhere. This is the primary sphere in which God has given us to apply His Word, and we ought to be engaged in doing so. To the honor and glory of God. Yes, it will create happy homes. It will create, in many ways, domestic peace. Obeying God's way is always the best way. It's always the most joyful way. It's not always the easiest way in a sin-tainted world, but it is the happiest way. And so may God help us to be husbands and wives who take seriously our responsibilities before God and desire to fulfill those responsibilities for the good of our spouse and for the honor of our Savior. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that instructs not just a few areas of our lives, but instructs every area. And we thank you that you have not left us without instruction in this most important sphere of life. We pray today, Father, that you would grant to the wives of this congregation a glad-hearted and joyful submission unto their husbands. Father, may they seek to rely upon grace, to run to you for enabling strength, that they might gladly respect and submit to their husbands. Give them the help that they need. And Father, for all of us as we seek to fulfill our God-given responsibilities, we would pray that when we fail, when we sin against our spouse and sin against our God, that we would run to that fountain that has been opened up for cleansing, that we would look to Christ for pardoning mercies, and that we would beseech him in our hour of need for enabling grace, that we might put on what you have called us to be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.